So the thing with the mic drop this morning, Zoo. For you guys to have context on where I was coming from with that is that as she struggles every Sunday with, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, I got nothing to say, et cetera, et cetera. We all have nothing in ourselves to give. It's all, it needs to be about what does the Lord have to give? What does the Lord have us to share? What would the Lord have us to speak? And if you run of the scriptures you read, talking about the Son can do nothing of himself, but he does all that, only that what the Father gives him to say and do. Maybe mixing a couple scriptures there, but that's the point of it. Jesus only did and said those things the Father gave him to do and say. And that is what we are to be. And you may have absolutely nothing. Well, who cares if you have nothing? God always has something. Amen. And if you can trust in that, then what do you have to fear? There's a couple topics, and I don't know how we'll do on time today. Hopefully we'll wrap up on time. I'll seek to do that. So we spent some time watching the movie yesterday, and it was absolutely worthless. I did not find a single redeeming thing in that movie other than, nope, there was nothing. For you guys, if you are tempted to watch the movie The Arrival or whatever it's called, just don't. It's really awful. It's very long and boring, and it's terrible. Sometimes you can find something in there that's entertaining, at least, you know. And on the rare occasion, you may find something that's even, you know, even completely not their intention, but can, you know, sometimes you'll find something that's actually got some spiritual truths that you can kind of walk away with and go, wow, that's kind of cool. And I was thinking a little bit today, this morning, about The Matrix. And I'm going to get to the Bible at some point here, guys, believe me. I hope so. Should be. But you know, there's that one section, if you ever watched the first one, right? So the guy gets plucked out of, his little shell, and he's dropped into what is really reality, not the fake reality that he thought was real, but he's now plucked into what is real reality, and he's put in an environment, and he's sparring, and he's breathing heavy and breathing hard, and he's really putting all this effort and all this stuff together. And the guy walks up to him and says, do you think that, you know, my muscles or my strength have anything, any advantage here? Do you think that's air you're breathing? And it was very interesting if you think about that from a spiritual perspective. And believe me, I have a point for those that are saying, will you finally get to it? Or maybe you've never watched the movie. But my dad, Brother Davey, used to ask people all the time, how you doing? And, you know, people would often say, okay, under the circumstances. And he would say, why are you under that? You see, there's a different reality that we can operate in if we choose to. What you were subjecting yourself today to, Sue, was your limitations of your reality. And if you choose to live there, you can do nothing. You will do nothing. You will do only that which is defective in any, in every capacity. Right? But there's another reality. And that's the reality of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual reality, which it is higher than this reality. It is greater than this reality. And you can overcome this reality by being in that reality. Amen. So if you choose to separate yourself from all of these limitations, which are only to your destruction and are only going to go to destruction and corruption, and choose to side with the spiritual and side with the kingdom of God and believe God, then all those things that you think are your limitations, just like in the movie, You know, the guy was huffing and puffing, and he was in a virtual reality. Why do you huffing and puffing? You can hold your breath. It doesn't matter. You're not going to die because you're not really there. You know, it's all in your head in that particular instance. You know, these things that you tend to allow yourself to get, you know, fall into or sucked into or whatever, it's just, it's purely by your own choice you allow yourself to do it. And it's not just you, it's everyone that struggles with that situation. Oh, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. I don't have enough money. I don't have a job. I don't have a car. Oh, if I only had this. I mean, all of that stuff is just nonsense. It's all excuses. See, without him, you can do nothing. With him, you can do all things. And you, what that is, you do anything that he has put before you to accomplish, you can do it. In him, you can do it. That is, you can preach. You can share the gospel. In fact, you know, one of the things we've been talking about quite a bit is that Jesus says to his disciples, if you believe on me, the things I'll do, you'll do also. Yea, far greater. You know, I'm going to keep going back to the lemon tree because it's so on point. It's not that you're going to go make those things happen. They're just going to happen because that's what happens with the power of God. Things happen. Faith is the catalyst. Faith and obedience is just, man, you put those two together, you get power. You get the manifestation of the greatness and power of God. That's what happens. You can't not have it. But you put unbelief in that, and it short circuits the entire thing. You add unbelief into it, and it just, you got nothing. You get rid of the unbelief, and it's a miracle waiting to happen. And it's just naturally going to happen. But you can't get hung up on all these limitations that you think are limitations. You're not smart enough. You didn't read your Bible enough this week. All of that. When you start locking into those things and limiting God's ability to move through you because if you've got some sort of deficiency, let me tell you what, you don't have a deficiency that's bigger than a God. You don't. You just don't have a deficiency that's bigger than God. In fact, it's an excuse for you to say it. The truth is you just don't want to. You don't want to. You know, we've been hitting around a lot of stuff. And one of the things is that you just got to be honest with yourself. And this morning, Steve put some stuff up there in the chat about when you woke up. I mean, look, when we open our eyes, we all have the chance to say, Lord, this is your day. We all have the chance to center. It may be sometimes more difficult than others, and I understand my air compressor going off at your last 10 minutes of sleep will be a challenge first thing in the morning. But we have just as much time then as we do when we wake up any other morning. You just have to choose to do it. Anything else is just an excuse. It's just an excuse to stay in that place of unbelief, in that place of worry. You know, it's interesting you were in Philippians 4 today, because guess where I was? Different verse, but I'm going to start from verse 1 here. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The therefore means there's a bunch of really cool stuff before this that makes this sort of, you know, kind of, this is bringing it all together. I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche, hope I get those names right, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, which with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Okay, when are we to rejoice? Always. We got Micah back. walked in here. Oh, how, when are we to rejoice, Micah? Always. Sue, when are we to rejoice? Naomi, when are we to rejoice? Always. All the time. Even when we don't like it. You know what? Especially when you don't want to. Because how do you orient yourself back in the right direction? Rejoicing. Can you be in a bad place and praise God at the same time? No, not if you're really praising God. It'll pull you right out of that bad place. Why do you think you don't want to praise God when you're in a bad place? Because you don't want to get out of it. It's not the devil. It's just you don't want to be. Oh, doubt. He's got to stop mumbling. Speak up a little bit. No, we don't seek the Lord and praise God when we're in those places because we frankly don't want to get out. We'd rather stay there, rather sit there in it. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, the thing we learned when we went through this in the men's Bible study, that the Lord is at hand. You know what that, you remember what that means? Lord's right there. So you wake up and you say, gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do this? You know what? The Lord is at hand. What do? You pray. Say, Lord, I need your help. And you know what he'll do? He'll help you. He'll help you. Because he promises to. He doesn't break his promise. I will break my promises. I've done it many times. He won't. He's not going to break his promise. The next verse is the one I wanted to get to. Be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for what? Nothing. Now, I believe we talked a little while ago about a prayer that was, Lord, show me the unbelief in my heart and help get it out. Like we were talking about the paper towels and that glass. You can only have so much water. You take the paper towels out, you get more water, right? The glass is a fixed size. It doesn't get any bigger or smaller. The glass is what it is. But if it's chocked full of stuff that's not good, you got to get that out to get more water in the glass. Amen? And what's the Lord been doing? Been showing you how to get rid of it. Been showing you the crud. Been showing you the stuff in there that's got to come out. You want to work? You want to walk with the Lord in power and in might, with the authority? I do. You got to get rid of the. Got to get rid of the crud. Got to get rid of all that crud in there. So it says, be careful for nothing. So when you start to care about things, what are you supposed to do? Put that off. You go back to the scripture that says, be careful for nothing. What am I worrying about this for? What am I stressed about this for? Why am I limiting God's ability because I'm imperfect? You know what? He knows you're imperfect. You've talked a little bit about that already, Sue. Micah, God knows you're not perfect. You know that? And he died for you anyway. And God knows I'm not perfect. And y'all know I'm not perfect too, because you know me. But does that imperfection limit God's ability? No. That's what his grace is for. That's exactly what his grace is for. So you go and you say, Lord, forgive me. I'm imperfect. I got off on the wrong foot today, Lord. Well, get on the right foot now. Right? You know, he's the great redeemer. I mean, if you look at scripture, I've heard this again, you know, listening to some political stuff, And again, the vice president taking a scripture completely out of context terribly. He goes into Jeremiah and butchers the one where it says, and this isn't the, what the King James says, but the other Bibles say, I know the plans I have for you, the plans to prosper you. Again, completely out of context. They were in captivity because of their rebellion, because of their wickedness, because of their pride, because of their falling away, because of all the things that they had rejected, the things of the Lord. That's why they were there, not because they were great. And God was telling them, he wants to do, look, I know the thoughts I have towards you. They're not bad thoughts. They're thoughts for your benefit. I mean, that's what he's saying. But it was after he had given them a bunch of things to do, to operate in obedience. Well, God has good desires towards us. He's a caring God. He's a loving God. So when those thoughts of worry and doubt and all those things come against you, or you're dwelling in them, or whatever it happens, you know, go back to, remember the word, remember, if you can hear his voice in your head, what are you doing there, Brother Davey? What are you doing there? You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be subject to that. God's bigger than that. You know, the other scripture that comes to mind, if you just want another one, because right there, what is he saying? Let me get back to that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is that not a promise? Is that not a promise? Don't worry. Bring your requests to the Lord. What's he promised? He's going to take care of it. Right? It may not be in the way you think it should be done, but we know he's going to take care of his children. He always has, and he always will. Over in Matthew 6, this is one of my favorite. There it is, verse 8. I knew it was there. So he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And he says this to them, be not therefore like unto them, speaking of the heathens, who just pray with vain repetitions. He says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. You know, the Lord knows what you need. He knows what you need. You don't have to make some big show of it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to stress over it. You don't have to do any of that. You know what you got to do? Just go ask him. Just go ask him. He's your daddy. Just go ask him. My little girl has no problems asking daddy for stuff. Do you, Naomi? Sometimes I say yes. Sometimes I say no. Sometimes I say, get away from me. You're bothering me. That's not the right answer, but that's what I do. But that's not what God does, is it? Don't get hung up on that stuff. I mean, Sue, you were describing something that I think many, many people struggle with if they're going to be honest with themselves. If you're going to be really honest with yourself, you're going to be honest and say, you know what? Yeah, I struggle with, you know, God's ability to use me. Gosh, you know, he did create the universe. You'd figure he could handle little old you. All you got to do is get out of his way. Recognize that, yeah, I'm broke. This flesh is broke. It's never going to be, never, like you said, it's never going to love God, never going to want to do the things of God. Who cares? Paul came to that conclusion. Steve preached about it the other week. I then with my mind do what? Serve the law of God. My flesh is the law of sin. Who cares? Who cares about what this thing wants? Stop caring what the flesh wants. When you can get to that point, then all of that control it exercises all of you over you is just gone. It just doesn't have any effect anymore. And even though you wake up and takes you a moment to wiggle your head and open your eyes with whatever's going on. You can still orient yourself to do God's will. And when those things come against you to tell you otherwise, you can say, gosh, what? No, the Bible says be careful for nothing. I don't listen to that. I'm not going to agree with that. And that was more of what we talked about this morning, Sue, is, you know, why are you agreeing with that? So you certainly don't need to. Amen? You don't need to agree with any of that stuff. It's just garbage. Well, we're going to wrap up a couple minutes early today. Hope you guys will stay with us. We've got another service coming up in a little over an hour. We'll have the Texas service. Thank you guys for joining us today and listening today. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your week. Amen.